Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of my podcast. We have a very special guest today joining all the way from South Africa. We got Meel Wingnating joining the podcast. Hi Meel.
Hi, how's it going?
So how's this morning in South Africa?
It's very cold and quiet, actually, for a change. Right.
So which part of South Africa are you? Can you tell a little bit about where you are?
I am based in Pretoria, basically Gauteng. So it's just, it's right next to Joburg, which is, everyone knows Johannesburg better than Pretoria, I guess.
Right, right. So, So Meel, you know, I actually didn't know until 2020 that there was, you know, like there was a big rock scene, metal scene in South Africa. And I just discovered it because of the pandemic, right? It's like funny. I never knew that there was, I knew like a couple of band names, but I didn't know that there was a very big scene. Can you tell me a little bit about how was the last 2 years, like, you know, the pandemic and lockdowns and everything? How was it for you?
For me personally, it was actually quite great. Because my day job at that stage was in hospitality. Right. So as you can imagine, we didn't have any business or anything to do. So I was fortunate enough to be able to kind of still work from home because I did like marketing and sales and stuff. So we were still able to like do some form of something, but I had a lot of free time on my hands, and that actually got me to spend more time in my music and art and stuff like that. So it was a positive for me, even though, you know, I wasn't like earning as much as I was when I was working, you know, but I had time at home where I could just like, you know, write songs and practice a bit more on my guitar and stuff, which, you know, you don't always get time to do that if you have a day job. So yeah, it was really nice for me. And so the whole Meel Wingnating project kind of formed in lockdown. So I was a solo artist before, and then I just decided in lockdown, you know what, maybe it's time to record a few of my original songs. And yeah, so we did that in my living room. So yeah, the recordings that you can hear on the streaming platforms and stuff, that was all recorded in my living room. And the drums are programmed and stuff like that. So it's not as authentic as I would like it to be. But now that things are turning back to normal, we can actually go into studio and do like proper drum takes and proper like guitar takes and stuff, vocal takes and so forth.
Right. So one of the main thing that got affected is the live music scene, right? So how is it now? Is it back?
It is incredible now. It's crazy. So I have a production company as well, and we're very fortunate to work with like a lot of South African artists. And it's crazy. I feel like before lockdown, there was like a lot of musicians around, and I think lockdown just forced a lot of people to just pick up an instrument and learn, you know, because the scene has grown so much. And I was saying to my one friend the other night, we went to open mic night. I used to go a lot before lockdown, and then I didn't go a lot lately. And when I got there on Monday, I was like, yes, I don't know any of the musicians here, which is a good thing for me, because everyone that I was used to seeing at open mic has kind of progressed and become like working musicians instead of like going to open mic to find gigs and stuff like that, you know. And there's like a whole new crowd now, and it means like people are leveling up, which is great, you know. So I think if anything, in South Africa, in the music scene, lockdown has really like made musicians very persistent, which is good. Yeah.
And also for me personally, like I built like an extra appreciation for it, because it was missing for like 2 years. And then when I see now gigs I really want to go, even if it's just the up and coming band which is not popular. I would just still go and watch. I would even just go and watch a person basking on the road, because it's like, you know, it was missing, right? But I felt something. But I felt something when I went to the gigs, when the live music started. It felt awkward sometimes, like, because we didn't know, like, whether we should hug or whether we should shake hands or whether we should do fist bumps. Yeah. Everybody's like, you know, don't know what to do.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's still sometimes a bit odd. I don't know about you guys, but we actually just recently, they dropped the like, we don't have to wear masks in public anymore. Right. And I described it to my friend the other day, like, going into the shop without a mask kind of felt like the first time I was legally allowed to drive a car on the road without having someone in the car. Right. You know, it's scary but liberating. And but I think there's still a lot of, like, uncertainty, you know, because we were all like, then we're out, then we're back in, then we're out, then we're back in, you know. And I think the whole lockdown thing kind of screwed with our heads a little bit, but it's really nice to feel how it's like easing back into normal, you know?
Right. You know, the trick I do is, because we still have to wear a mask in those, right? So what I do is, but you don't have to wear it if you're drinking or eating. So I always like have a drink on my hand. So I don't have to wear it.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Oh man, I don't get that concept. I actually flew to Cape Town a while ago, and it's so weird because for a long time they didn't serve food on the airplanes, right. And but then they started bringing it back. But you have to wear your mask. But then when they give you the food, then you're allowed to take off your mask quickly and eat, and then put it back on. And I was like, really? You know. And it's not like they didn't have, like, one seat open, one seat filled. It was literally packed. The plane was packed, you know. And it's things like that that kind of, you know, screwed with our heads, I'm sure. We were all thinking, like, what the hell is this?
Right. So, as I said earlier, so I discovered the South African, you know, the music scene, like in accident. Like, somebody reached out to me. And then, you know, one band, I talked to one band. And then I think the last band I talked to, Fourth Sun South.
Oh, funny story. I actually joined the band.
When did you join the Peter's band?
It's been probably like two or 3 months now. I've been with Fourth Sun South as a second vocalist. Yeah.
Right. I actually love that their song. I've been listening to that, Tomorrow's Better, the one that they did with Melissa Osborne.
Yes, yes.
Wow. So you're part of the Fourth Sun South as well now, huh?
Yes. So Peter always wanted to bring in like a female vocalist. And I think Melissa, unfortunately, was too busy to join the band entirely. So he approached me and I was like, yes, please, because I love Fourth Sun South and Peter is such an amazing musician. So, yeah, it's a privilege to be part of the band. It's really awesome.
Right. So, Mil, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and what's your earliest memory of music?
Oh, man. So I've always been like, you know, I enjoy singing and stuff. So since like little, my mom said I was always like singing like everything. I still do that. I don't really speak. I sing. But yeah, so my uncle passed away and he left us some money, like for me and my sister. And so I wanted to do ice skating, figure skating. Mm. And my sister got a guitar. And then when I saw the guitar, I think I was like 6 years old by then. And I was like, oh man, why didn't I pick a guitar? So, yeah, but my sister was cool. She like lent me her guitar and stuff. So, and she had all these books. So I just kind of figured it out on my own. And yeah, the rest is history. I've been playing guitar since six, self-taught. And singing's just always been a thing. I never really thought that I could sing until I think it was like a school camp or something. And we actually did, like, a friend of mine joined me on guitar and we did a cranberry song. And then everyone was like, oh my God, you can sing. And I think that's when I realized, like, okay, I like performing. I love to sing. I love to play guitar. You know, maybe I can do something with this. Yeah, so right. That's where it all started for me. Yeah.
So when you were growing up, like, what sort of music did you listen to? Or you remember?
that's funny. So my mom was, like, into pop music. And my dad was, like, into rock and metal and stuff. And I don't know why. I mean, I'm not dissing any genres, but I think it's a personal preference. To me, pop music was just always very, like, shallow and empty, you know, where I found that rock music was like, wow, there's actually, like, passion. And, you know, like, you can feel in the guitar solo, you feel the passion and the lyrics and everything, you know, was just something that really moved me, where pop music was just like, whatever, you know. So, yeah, that's fortunate. My dad was like, you know, he listened to really cool music and stuff. So my elder sister as well, she turned out to be a DJ now, though. She still likes rock music and stuff, but she got the best of both worlds. So she liked the pop and the rock. So, but yeah, she introduced me to the Cranberries, which is the biggest influence in my music. And she introduced me to Pearl Jam, Nirvana, stuff like that, you know. And the 90s grunge and alternative and rock scene was, ugh, that's what completely shaped me. You know, that's my biggest influence as well in my writing and music comes from that era. So, yeah.
Yeah, and listening to your songs, I mean, it was like kind of obvious, like, there's so much similarity between your voice and, you know, Dolores' voice from Cranberries, right? When do you remember when somebody, like, compared that, your voice to her? When did that happen?
Definitely. In high school, like, the kids that didn't know my name used to call me the girl that sings like Cranberries. So, yeah, it was bad. It was bad when I was younger, because I mean, I was so infatuated with Dolores, you know, like, I literally can copycat her. And it's only in, like, later high school years where I was like, okay, wait a minute, you know, like, I need to be unique. I need to be my own person. So I've been kind of trying to veer away from that, but you can very distinctly hear the influence in my vocals. But you know, I'm trying to focus a bit more on being unique. So I have a lot of, like, male vocalists that influence me as well. And I'm trying to broaden my range. And by doing that, I think I've kind of developed a tone, if you can put it that way, that right. I really am comfortable with now. And I can feel like that's me, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, like, you know, listening to your songs and having that thought, and then I just went to my collection and I was just like, took this out because I think I want to listen to them. One thing is,
actually, I did saw your photo on Instagram. I was like, oh, yeah. Those are the best albums.
Because there is this special connection to me, especially the artists from Ireland. Like, I went to Dublin. I had a chance to go to Dublin, and then I went to one of the studios. I think it's called Temple Street Studios. That's one of Cranberries recorded their album there. And I was able go into that studio, like, do the tour and stuff. So I felt so, like, I have a special connection with the bands from the island. The Scripps. There's so many bands, right? There's so many great Irish bands, and Cranberries is one of them. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. No, they're amazing, honestly. And what I really love about Dolores is, you know, she was never a girl that used her, you know, like, being a woman to gain anything. You know, she was always like, this is who I am, take it or leave it, you know. And she was just, like, real and raw, you know. And I absolutely loved that about her. It was, yeah, no, she's incredible.
Right. So you mentioned that even before this meal thing started, that you actually was a solo, like a solo artist. So can you tell me a little bit about that journey?
So Meal, that Meal is my nickname. So Meal is like an Afrikaans word for cake flour, basically. And when I was in primary school, we had this little band thing, but it was literally just a bunch of kids. We all played guitar. We all played the same thing. We didn't even know better. So, and we were like, we all have to have these nicknames. So that's where I got dubbed Meal, because I'm actually naturally blonde and I'm very pale skinned. So that's the whole Meal cake flour connection thing. And so yeah, vignetting is just something that I added because it's a photography term, which basically means no borders. It fades the border out. So, and I just feel like I can relate to that in my music, because there, to music and art, there is no borders, you know, and as long as it's like creative and, you know, comes from the right place, you can't really put a border on that. And I've been in and out of bands all my life and everything. And at a stage, I just, you know, I got tired of being in a band and then we break up and then starting a new band and breaking up. And so I did the solo thing and I performed under Meal Vignetting. And then I started a band again and then that didn't work out. And I was like, you know what, that's it. I'm not getting any younger. I'm going to do a band under Meal Vignetting. And then whoever sticks around, whoever goes, goes. And that's what I did in lockdown. I gathered like a bunch of friends and we were like, let's jam and let's record and stuff. And we've already had a bunch of member changes, not because of any like beef or fights or anything. It just, you know, life happens and people have things to do and move on. And yeah, so I think this really works for me, because now I can just, you know, perform under my name and not have to worry about breaking up again and fighting over who wrote what song and stuff like that, you know. So yeah, I write the music and the band puts in their parts, and yeah, it works for me.
So who is the current lineup?
So currently it's obviously me, and then Ruan Mostert is on lead guitar, and then we've got Zadelhoff on bass guitar, Reino on drums, and we have another member, Wesley, but yeah, he just got married and went on honeymoon, and he's fixing up his house and everything, so he hasn't been actively involved in the band, but yeah, so we've got three guitars. I just do rhythm guitar, but I would love to not play guitar at all and just like freak out on stage, you know. But it's nice. It's a nice vibe, like full guitars and like a rock, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Meal, can you tell me a little bit about the, you know, the South African scene? Because as I said, I discovered it late. What are the other bands that you like, you know, would recommend or you really like from the scene?
Oh man, there's so many. It's big with this production company. I mean, we have a standing thing with a venue where we do sound and lights over weekends, and
right.
I can't tell you the amount of talent in this country. It is ridiculous, honestly. And there's almost every weekend I'm like mind blown with what I saw. And, you know, there's so many bands to mention, but a few of my new absolute favorite ones is there's a band from KZN called Poster Boy. I swear they're like Nirvana reincarnated, honestly. It is amazing. And yes, they're such nice guys as well. And within the same genre, there's Drumfish, which is also amazing to check out. Yes, off the top of my head, Joy Club Cassidy. Cassidy is a punk band that I absolutely love. Nomadic Orchestra is an amazing band. Yes, there are so many. Honestly, I can send you like a whole list. but we've got, like, last night we did a light show for Prime Circle. I don't know if you know Prime Circle. They're quite a famous band, and they've made some waves all over the world, and it's just incredible. Like, yes, that whole, we saw their team come in, like, rig the whole stage. The band didn't even do sound check. Like, their techies know exactly what they want, where they want it, how they want it, and they just come on stage, play their hearts out, and yes, it was incredible, incredible. Yeah.
Right. So, Mil, you have an EP. I was able to listen to that in Spotify called The Journey. There are a few songs on that, and one of my favorite songs out of that is the song called Go.
Oh, wow.
So tell me about the EP and also about that song.
It's called The Journey because, you know, I've been on a hectic journey the last couple of years, and a lot of the songs on there is quite emotional. And Go is, it comes from a relationship where, you know, we were like always fighting, and it just kind of describes the fighting. And you know, there's like one specific fight that I remember that this song like always brings out, which is actually quite horrible because every time I perform it, I have to think of that, you know. But you know, it's, I feel that the instrumental part at the end is kind of just, you know, me letting go of that, you know, and the song just like saying like, go, you know, it's over, it's done, just go. And yeah, so it's not as hectic to perform it because that instrumental part at the end is just always like, I just envision myself letting go of all of that rage, you know. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, the EP, so two of the songs on the EP I wrote in lockdown, it's Empty Forever and St. Mary's. And it's literally like, so Follow the Moon is about my childhood and, you know, things that I went through growing up and dealing with that. And I always say Follow the Moon is like my song that says like, fuck society and the system and everything, you know, because there's so much pressure on us, like from society, that expect this thing and they want to conduct your life and say, this is how you must do things and this is how you must live your life. And, you know, being weird is not cool. And, you know, wearing whatever you want to wear is not cool. You have to like conform to this kind of normal and stuff. And Follow the Moon is just like, you know what, fuck everything, fuck everyone. You know, just the moon is authentic, be your authentic self, you know, and just the sun will always rise again after the darkness, you know. And the whole EP, like everything, like if you listen to the lyrics, it's literally just, you know, I think everyone can relate to it because it's things that people go through on a daily basis and in life and in relationships, be it with your parents or a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you know, whatever. And then, yeah, just working through it and dealing with it. And yeah.
Right. Right. Now that the world is like, you know, opening up, things are like, as you said, the live music is started, and you probably you can also start like touring. So what's the dream and what do you wish for, like in the coming days or the coming months?
Yeah. So because we kind of formed the band in lockdown, we're still fairly new. So we're still trying to kind of get our stuff out there. We recently played in Mozambique, which was really nice. And I was very fortunate through Force and South to kind of end up there and have Mil van Jeding play there as well. And then after that, we did like a little trip down to KZN to play a show there. And we're busy planning shows like, you know, all over South Africa and kind of do a tour. But we all have day jobs and stuff, so it's not like just, you know, get in a bus and do like a proper tour. It unfortunately has to happen in these little small bursts. But I enjoy that because it's nice. You get to meet other bands, other musicians, you get to meet new people. And it's really what I loved about, especially playing in Mozambique at this festival called Strab. Like, people actually sat down and watched our show and listened to our music, you know, because our drummer didn't go, he couldn't go along. So it was like an acoustic kind of set. Right. And it was just nice, you know, to see people actually listen to your music and enjoy it. And, you know, like, that's, it's such a nice thing. And when we played in KZN as well, you know, just to see how people react to your music, and especially like if you see how musicians react to your music, that's kind of cool, you know. So but for me, the main aim with just doing music in general is to kind of touch people, you know, like on an emotional level, because I would like people to take something away from my music, you know, and be able to say like, yes, this song resonates with me because I also went through something like that. And or like, this guitar part resonates with me because it like awakens this kind of emotion in me. And that's what music has always been to me. And that's what I want to bring across. Like, if you play a concert, give people goosebumps, like give them something to think about and let them feel what you're feeling, you know, kind of bring that across. And I think if, as a musician, we're able to do that, then I'm kind of happy. Yeah, job done.
Wow. Right. Yeah. And you mentioned Mozambique, and I know also there's like a huge scene in Botswana as well, right? There's so many great talent in Africa that is not discovered, right? Like, the world doesn't know about, right?
Absolutely. So we were fortunate to be on like this, it's, I don't want to say it's a podcast, it's not, but it's like a YouTube channel, TV channel thing called Drum Peepo. And he is such an incredible asset to South African music, because he literally, like, he goes and he finds like the best of the best hidden talent, and then he gives them a platform and let them perform and talk about who they are and where they're from and stuff. And a lot of the like African music gets featured on there, and it just blows my brain, like the talent that is out there. And he's recently started traveling to like Botswana and stuff like that to like kind of get the cultures from there and the musicians from there, which is awesome. So that's something you can maybe check out as well. Drum Peepo. I think you'll enjoy that, because it's literally all walks of life, like all genres, you know, within South Africa and Africa. So that's really, really very cool.
Yeah, I've seen that one of those videos where they, you seen those Botswana cowboys, like, you know, they're like wearing like cowboys, and then they're like doing metal and rock, like blues.
I haven't seen those. I'll have to go check that out. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that's a famous, like a popular video for coming out of from there.
Oh my word, I'll have to check that out.
Right. So Mil, what's your message to the viewers of this video and people who's going to listen to this conversation?
I don't know. I always suck with messages. So I hope if whoever listens to our music, I really hope that you enjoy it, and that you can take something from it, and you know, support small bands, you know, as you would support like the bigger bands, you know. I think that's a big thing. Well, that we find that in South Africa. I don't know if it's the same anywhere else, but there's a very big gap between up and coming artists and the made artist. It's so difficult to get from here to there because there's no platform in between, you know. There's no, people don't want to really sign the little bands because they don't really have a following. Or I mean, I've had that a lot where people say to me, you know, I can't book you because you don't have a big following, you know. And I think that's, I do understand it from a venue or events coordinating like side, but You know, how is a band supposed to make it if you don't give them a shot?
Right.
So I think if I can get a message across to anyone, you know, it's, you know, give the little guys a shot. You might be surprised.
Yeah. I've been also saying that because, for example, Beatles was a local band in Liverpool, right? Before they became international band, right? So you have to support your, especially support your local bands, and you know, otherwise, as you said, there's no platform for them to become that level, right? Especially nowadays, because everything is so dependent on, like, you know, social media and number of followers and all that, right?
Yeah, it's hectic. And I mean, to keep up like a presence on social media is hard work, honestly. Mm. And, you know, the bigger bands can afford to pay someone to do that for them. But for me, I mean, I have a day job and I have like my own company. And then I have two bands. I have two kids as well. I have two boys.
Right.
So for me to juggle all of that and then still manage like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, like everything, you know, it's a lot. And I honestly don't want to spend like my entire day on my phone documenting everything I do to please society, if you know what I'm saying, because that's what's expected. Like, you have to have this presence online.
Right.
And but how about like when do we get to live in the moment, you know? When do we get to, so you go to a concert, but everyone's like videoing the concert and you're like focused on, am I getting the right angle? But you're missing the whole concert, you know? And yeah, that's a sad thing for me. So life has become digital, sadly. And I mean, it's great because I mean, you and I can communicate now, but yeah, it should be in moderation, if you know what I'm saying.
Actually, I have a rule. When I go to concerts, I take one song. I record one song. After that, I put my phone on the pocket and just enjoy, because I'm not going to the concerts just to share for other people, right? I'm going it for myself. So I should enjoy that.
Exactly.
Not worry about how others are going to see the video and all that. So.
Yeah. No, it's like I lived in England for a while, like in like 2004, 2005, and 2006, and that's literally when like the phones that could like record videos and stuff just came out.
Right.
So we went to see Foo Fighters, and I was like videoing, because it's now this new thing, and I'm like videoing the whole freaking concert, not really paying attention to the concert, you know, because wow, my phone can take videos, and I'm filming Foo Fighters.
Right.
And then I think a month or two later, I lost my phone, and then I didn't even have the videos anymore.
Actually, that exact thing happened to me. Like, Slayer is like my most favorite, one of my favorite bands, right? The first time I saw Slayer, I was like in the barricades, I was taking all the videos, photos, and I had like photos with like shaking hands of them. And then at end of the concert, somebody snatched my phone. So I don't have single photo from that concert.
Oh man, yes, that's crazy. Oh,
but that gave me a very good lesson, actually. So to just to enjoy the moment rather than, you know, focusing too much on the photos and the videos.
Exactly. I mean, we all do it. Like Incubus is one of my favorite bands, and when we saw them live, like, I also took a bunch of videos, but it's, you know, it's more, we all do it because it's like, oh, this moment, you want to capture this moment, you know, but we forget that, you know, we capture the moment here and here. So,
so Mil, anybody you want to shout out to?
Well, my band, like, I'm so grateful. Like, we played a show on Friday night, and, you know, life has been hectic. And so the guys in my band, they don't only just play for me. They have their own projects as well. Our bassist is like, he's super busy with a bunch of projects, but yeah, they all put in so much effort, and, you know, we're really getting very tight, and Yeah, I'm just so grateful to have them on stage with me and for the parts that they bring to the band and the music and everything. And yeah, I just want to give a massive, massive shout out to them and say thank you for everything and putting up with my craziness. Yeah, it's awesome. I love them to bits.
Right. I also want to like shout out to Dassey Clayton for setting up us on this because
yes.
he has introduced me to a lot of great bands like you.
Oh, cool. Shame. Yeah, he's awesome. Like, Dassey has been amazing. I actually met him through, he booked a gig for Four Sun South. And then that's how we kind of met. And I asked him to please just help me out with a little bit of PR stuff. And he has been fantastic. So massive, massive shout out to him as well. Because without him, I couldn't have done all of these amazing things that's been happening for our band now. So,
right. So Mil, if whoever is going to watch this video and listen to this conversation, if they want to check out, you know, your band, what's the best way to check you out? Where can they listen to your music?
So we're on all the major streaming platforms, like Spotify, iMusic, Deezer, YouTube. And then we're on Facebook, Instagram. I'd say our Instagram is probably the most active account. It's the easiest to just post quickly. So, but yeah, no, they can find us everywhere. We've got two music videos out on YouTube as well. And we're busy with a third music video that will be released soon. So that's exciting stuff. And then in August, we're going to start recording new music as well. So that's something to look forward to as well.
Right. So Mil, thanks for joining this conversation. I really enjoy talking to you and all the best with your plans.
Thank you so much. It was really, really nice to meet you. And thank you for what you do for the music industry, man. It's awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Mil. We'll talk again when you have new music. Please come again on the podcast. We can awesome. Talk about your new music. Have a great day ahead.
Great stuff. Thanks, you too. Okay.
Thank you.